come in Jesus' name. And Lord, we do thank you for everything. Lord, the gentleness is just so overwhelming this morning. Your tenderness to us, your kindness, Lord, your love, it's been made known. And Lord, thank you that it's increasing in us toward one another. Lord, we just ask that you would open up these scriptures to us this morning. Lord, let us rejoice again in this marvelous mercy and grace. Lord, this love wherewith we are loved, the power of this grace plan of God, and who we are right now, the sons of God, who we are in Christ right now, the heirs of God, and growing into those joint heirs together with Jesus Christ. We thank you for it. We praise you for it. God, help us to be vessels with more of the glory in it this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 4, Paul begins to minister how sweetly he is aching and groaning, praise God, to be with the Lord. And how assured we are to be absent from the body is to be present with Christ. How wonderful that someday, praise God, we're going to put off this corruptible and put on the incorruptible. And he says so sweetly here in the fourth verse of chapter 5 of 2 Corinthians, he says, "For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened." Amen. Amen, amen. It's okay. You can just, it's that big amen. "For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life." Isn't that beautiful? See, it's not just to exit this place. It's not just to end this life. We ache, brothers and sisters, and we groan to be clothed with him. Aren't you thankful? Be thankful that you groan. Be thankful that you ache. Praise God. And not just to be in heaven. You ache and groan not just to that this mortal, this flesh must put on the incorruptible. But brothers and sisters, we groan to be clothed with him in full glory. In full glory. Praise God. All through those last few chapters of Revelation, it's so marvelous. The garment, the wedding dress of the bride in the 19th chapter, it's the lampros white. She's clothed just like him. Not the 24 elders, not the innumerable multitude, but the bride for the Lamb. She is the one that is clothed like him in that glory. We find in Revelation 21, 9 through 11, we see that beautiful vision. John taken up there onto that high mount. And there you are by the grace of God. There you are by the grace of God. Place yourself there by the grace of God. Why not believe? The word of God says, "As thou hast believed, so be it done unto you." Why would we not believe? Why would we not take on that whole counsel, the exceeding rich and great and precious promises to us? Why would we not believe? So John looks up from that high mountain where he's taken, and he sees the bride. He sees the bride, the Lamb's wife, descending from heaven, it says, having the glory of God. Having. That word having, it means to be clothed with. That was the clothing, praise God, that she was clothed with. The fullness of the glory of him. Amen. He received, praise the Lord, the fullness of the glory of him. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now, aren't we thankful, brothers and sisters? Aren't we grateful, hallelujah, that we know there is nothing good of us. Nothing. There isn't. I'll say that one more time. Aren't you thankful that there is nothing good of us? You know that. And I thank God for it. I've waited on goodness to bubble up in my life. There were times I thought, oh my, look at this goodness. And how short that lasted. How quickly I failed once again. It was done in a moment. But then, praise God, the word of God told me, there's not one thing of my flesh that is acceptable to him. Not even one thing. It is all him. It's all by and in the inner man. And it's all about someday being clothed with Christ in his incorruptible glory. In Isaiah chapter 64, verse 6, it tells us, it concludes, we are all as an unclean thing. Yes, we are. Praise God. Just get over it. Hallelujah. And I love how it says, and all our unrighteousnesses, all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. I like that. He doesn't just say righteous, righteousnesses, all of them are as filthy rags. Yet here we are. And I'm speaking of Christian man, still is so enamored with our outward appearance. I hear it so often. I hear Christians talking about my testimony, my testimony, my testimony. How about Christ in you, the hope of glory? How about Christ liveth in me? I understand exactly what that testimony desire is. I understand these things, but sometimes we're so enamored with the outward appearance, we forget we're all of and any amount of good of outward appearance could ever come from. It has to come from that inward man. God is a God that looks on the heart. The word of God says that the Father right now is seeking out the true worshiper that worships him in spirit and in truth. Amen? Yes, that's the word of God. I believe that the Lord even so testified to us that night at that precious dinner. That true worshiper was the prostitute that washed his feet. Oh yes, with her tears. She was the worshiper in heart. She was the worshiper in heart. There were disciples that were in that house. They were in that room. And they were looking at the outward appearance of this woman. And it did not line up with what the disciples thought was godly. But isn't it amazing? That was the true worshiper. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 26. It says there, for ye see your calling, brethren. Yes, you do. You see it. It's not something you're trying to see. It's not hidden. You see your calling, brethren. Just look around in the word of God. We can see it. How that not many wise men after the flesh, not many noble, not many mighty are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of this world to confound the wise. And God hath chosen the weak things of this world to confound the things that are mighty. And base things of this world. Think of what we've just read here. He's chosen the weak things. He's chosen the base things of this world. He's chosen the despised things of this world. Hath God chosen? That's God's choice. Yea, and things which are not to bring to naught things that are. And here's the reason, that no flesh should glory in his presence. Praise the Lord. It is not our flesh that we glory in. Believe that. Precious hearts, God help us to see this. But we do glory in the new man. Oh, yes, we do. Paul said this in 2 Corinthians 12. The Lord took him into that precious place of the third heaven. He showed him, praise God, this wonderful, perfect, fully developed man of God that Paul not just could be, but as the Lord encouraged in Paul, I will perform the good work which I've begun. He rejoiced in that marvelous, perfect, complete, fully grown man that he would be. He says, I glory in that one. In that one. Not in me, but in that one. He glories, praise God, in that fully finished Christ in me life, the hope of glory. Now, God help us to cherish that grace. Amen. God help us to be bold in that grace. Amen. And thank him richly. Praise the Lord that yes, we are an heir. Right now I am a son of God. Oh, it surely doth not yet appear what I shall be, but I know this when I see him. When he shall appear, I shall be like him. And we have a testimony and an encouragement of like him that we would grow up into him in all things. We have a like him that it says that we would grow again to the measure, the stature, and the fullness of him. What does that mean to you? Does that mean a little bit like the Lord? Does that mean, you know, somewhat like the Lord? When he tells you that that glory that shall be revealed in you, is that somewhere afar off? Is it reflected or is the glory in you? Because the life of Christ is in you. And that's the only glory there is. And that glory lives in you. And all that a wonderful father would want is for you to grow up fully into that life that lives in you. And how much more so, and how the epitome of that is our Father God that gave the life of his son so that the life of his son could live in you and grow up into his son in all things. The full capacity that the Father would treat us just as he treats his son. He accepts us just like he accepts his son. Well, if that was the case, then he is offering the same place to us that he's offering to his son, but it's always through his son, which will be to rule and to reign right there on the Father's throne when he hands that throne to his son. Glorified together with him. Do you know that verse? Do you cherish that in Romans 8? Do you know that that's interpreted in the Greek as exalted to the same glory? The same. Not near, not close, but the same. That's why he has to wed you, to share that glory with him. It's the oneness of a husband and wife that can only take that together as one. You understand that? Children will never take that place. Children sit around the throne. Even as we look at the royals, they sit around the throne. If you ever look at pictures throughout history of the royal family, that throne is seated a king and a queen. Even more so, it's only going to be one throne with him. Praise God. That's the life that lives in us. That's the life, praise God, that is that full glory for him in us. And brothers and sisters, we can grow up into all of that grace. We can grow up into the fullness of his glory. The word of God says that we would be filled with all the fullness of God. Do you know that verse? Once again, it was written through that vessel of the Apostle Paul. That we would be filled with all the fullness of God. All the fullness of God. Well, in case you don't realize this, what is all the fullness of God? It's full glory. And notice he said that we would be filled with it, all of it. And praise be to God, not somewhere out there. It's Christ in me, the hope of glory. Praise God. See, there's a hope, hallelujah, that was set forth with this plan. That God foresaw for his son, that it was not good for him to live alone, that he will have his glory. That's the glory, praise God, that is in you in the life of his son to grow up for his son. Praise you, Jesus. He presents her to himself. That's why he says, I cannot deny myself. It's the same life. Praise the Lord. And all he wants is that life to share in every bit of the capacity of the fullness of his life. That's why as adults, we don't marry children. We marry a like kind adult. The same maturity, the same capacity, but most importantly, the same love. That we are in love with one another. And in that love, praise God, you can't help when you're fully in love with one another. You share everything. Everything of mine is yours. Everything of yours is mine. We're one. We're one in everything. You come into counsel with me, I'll tell you. As a husband and wife, there's no mine and hers. There isn't. It's ours. It's always ours. And that's how the Lord does this. This is the Lord's plan with you. We rejoiced in it last week, didn't we? We're no more servants. We're sons. We're heirs. We're heirs of God. And then in joint heirs together with Jesus Christ, if so be that we'll suffer together with him, that we might be glorified together with him. So it's all, praise God, set for that precious pattern that the Lord, hallelujah, wants his glory. Now, I pray this is in us, brothers and sisters, and bubbling over. Do we really see with those eyes of faith and love? Praise the Lord. I believe we do, or we wouldn't be here. There's a lot of places we can go get entertained, even though I think that music right there was as good as it gets. I might be a little bit biased because I love bridal music. And that's what I hear around here most all the time. But I thank God that truly this is that faith in love. We're in love with that faith in love with one another. That faith in you. That's the life that we now live. We live by the faith of the Son of God. Amen. Think of that faith. That's what's drawn us, brothers and sisters. That's why we love one another. That's why we settle down in marriage with one another. That's why we care for one another. And I mean really care. I've grown up in this meeting. I'm not saying I've grown up and matured old in this meeting. I've grown up in the truth in this meeting. I love you with bridal faith. Bridal faith. I love that capacity, praise God, that the Lord by his grace has put in us for one another. We come in here and cherish one another in a height, praise the Lord, that's beyond anything of this world. And if we don't, we haven't received it. We understand that the Lord has called us to these different, if you will, the after effects of yielding to God. Brother Duane, he has a precious business with automobiles. And there's his son, this engineer. And there's his son's son, this college man. And here I am, I'm trying to figure out what I do. But I am showing up. I found out that's the best thing I can do is just show up. God gives the increase. And I understand that about our life. And I understand that's the beauty of how God's chosen it. Each of us have different things, different trials, all these different things. But we still only have one purpose. We still all have one hope of his calling, don't we? We still have only one dad that's for us completely, that wants one thing, his best in us. He didn't just give us his precious son to die for us, to be saved. He gave him to us to grow up, to be the fullness of his glory, to come in not to a kingdom as a servant, but to come into the kingdom as a fully reigning, joint heirship together with his beloved son, to come into that kingdom as his double portion. Oh, yes, I am a child of my father, but I am the wife of his son. Praise God. Oh, praise God. And we know this. You have the treasure of everything. There is nothing that even compares. There's nothing that should even be uttered with that. And there isn't. Because we know there is nothing worthy to be compared. Now, is that how we receive one another? Never in the outward appearance. I know of folks, shame on them, God's still gracious, but they go to churches because of who's there. Isn't that sad? I want to go to a church because of what's there. What's there? What's there? Is the whole counsel of God there? Then I'm there. If the whole counsel of God's there, I'm there. Huh? That's where I want to be. I don't care if it's a parking lot. I don't care if it's tattered. I don't care if they got some nice glass. If that whole counsel of God's there, I'm there. By the grace of God. See, that's what we're after. That's what he's after. And that's our precious Jesus. See, that's what drew him. That's what always drew him. See, that's what drew him to an Abram in a dirty idol shop. He didn't go out and look for godly. He went to this Abram guy that was making idols. You're going to be the father of many nations. Do you see the same similarity in a Saul that he said, you're my chosen vessel and you're going to be a Paul? Huh? He's always done this. This is what our Jesus does. This is what draws him. Or how about him being drawn, and I'll say it over and over, for eternity to come because it's the word of God. But our precious beloved brother David, in the midst of adultery and murder, our God sought him out, never left him, and was there in hell, and not just by him, but in bed with him. It's interesting the words the word of God uses. It didn't say he was just sitting in the room with him. Didn't say, I'm just going to abide in your house. I'm going to get in that bed with you, David. Come on. And then, praise God. Oh, how he was so drawn to that beautiful, wretched woman at his feet, washing him with her tears. Or how about that other harlot there, that woman shacking up with a guy married 5 times, that adulterous Samaritan, the outcast at the well. His disciples wouldn't even get near her. They wouldn't. And yet Jesus left them for her. He's always about the inward. He is never about the outward appearance. And yet I always hear, it's about this testimony. I'm going to let God take care of my testimony. How about you? Paul did not preach. He talked about it. He would address it, but it was very briefly. Everything was about the truth. Everything was about the word of God. Everything was about love. Everything was about the power of his might. Everything was about going on in the truth. Everything else, it didn't matter. Praise be to God, you feast on this. Things will come forth. But no one is ever going to be drawn from the outward appearance. Jesus himself, as I said earlier on, he didn't make himself this beautiful thing that people went after. There was no beauty, it says in the word of God, that we would behold him, seeing Jesus. You had to hear him. You had to hear his word. You had to hear him speak. You have to hear the word of God ever, ever, ever to go after him. You ever want a testimony, it's going to be all through the word of God. And it's going to be a living and it's going to be alive in you. And as I've said, the greatest testimonies have been the greatest of failures of my brethren in this word that took the word of God and arose out of those ashes. That's the testimony. That's the testimony. I thank the Lord that he brings us on, that there's praise and rejoicing. I thank God for Christ in me, the hope of glory. But I'll tell you one thing. This flesh has never produced 1 ounce of glory. This flesh has never produced 1 ounce of righteousness. This flesh has never drawn one life to the Lord. By the grace of God, it's always been the grace of God with me. It's always been by the power and the strength of the inner man that is not apparent on this outward man. It's not. It's in the heart. It's in the heart. Oh, Jesus, mine it in us, mine it in us. Now, you want an artificial flower, there's always plenty of religious ones waiting for it. There are. I always remember my precious mom. Probably, maybe around, I was 11, 12 years old. We had a lot of trial going on in our house. A lot of things that you don't expect as a parent. And there she went out to a wedding. It was a certain religion. A very self-righteous religion. And everybody there looked right. Everybody there looked so beautiful. She looked at that family and they just looked perfect. It looked as if that family didn't have any problems at all. And yet she knew that that religion was as ungodly could be. And it hurt her heart. She said, oh Lord, it looks so perfect. And I know I've got the perfect world, but I've got a hurricane going on in my home right now. I've got kids that aren't behaving. I've got disruption. I've got my husband that's sad about some of the things that are going down. And there she went up so sad. And that whole church was decorated so beautiful. Flowers were so gorgeous. Couldn't believe it. She walked through that line and was saying hi to people. And then she walked over along the perimeter where those flowers were all around. And she got up to him. And she noticed, well, these are all fake. And then it was, these are dead. Then she looked up, and what she thought she saw for one moment was perfect. It was death. I've seen Christians virtually dead before. I was in a sad place one time, where Christians were coming up against Christians in a courtroom. And I remember walking through that door, and it was as vivid could be. I would imagine that every single one in that room almost was the family of God. But one side of the family, it was like in black and white. It was like they were dead. And then I looked over here, and it was just full of color. It was alive and rejoicing. Now, I'll tell you what, I'll choose the lowly. I will. By the grace of God, I'll choose that. By the grace of God, I'll choose hearts that are in love with His grace and mercy, the truth, that are completely reliant every breath upon the grace of God. But before we get out of here, I ask you, really, what testimony are you looking for? Are you looking for the well-groomed, the fine, religious ones that get up and pray even? And you know what they do? They get up and pray, and they thank God that they're not like this one standing next to them that's a cheater and a sinner and an adulterer. And they said, I'm glad I'm not like that wretched one. Huh? Is that our goal? Is that what we think that the mark of a true Christian is? Or do we rejoice in that? That woman, maybe a harlot woman, that Jesus said she had chosen the better part? Or do we rejoice in the testimony of David, the adulterer and the murderer, who God concluded did that which was right always before my eyes, who God said his heart was always perfect before me? What testimony do we want? What testimony do we want? Which testimony of that do you think wins God's best? I want to be found with those that will only be found having his righteousness. I only want to be found with them. You understand that? And those will be found together. Because the word of God says, come out from among them. Come out from among them. I want to be found with those that groan to put off this corruptible. I want to be with you. And I believe you know this. There ain't no good in your flesh. I want to be found with those that aren't trying to perfect their flesh. I thank the Lord, brothers and sisters, for each and every one of you. I was thinking, oh, thank you, God, all the imperfection in this place, all the insecurities in this place, all the infirmities in this place. Man, it's an infirmary. But you know what? We're together in this place. Christ has made us one in this place. And I thank the Lord that we are healed by the head, by the mind of Christ in this place. Because I thank the Lord, we know exactly why we are like we are. I'm glad I got a battle in my body. You glad you got a battle? Oh, I don't have no battle. You're blind to the battle. I'm glad I know I got a battle with these two natures. I know God is working here. I got the flesh and I got an inner man. I got Christ in me. And I know, praise God, it's that constant yielding that never ceases is the reason for it. I know the reason for it is because I've got the Comforter. I got to be comforted. If there's a comforter, I got to have comfort. That means I got to be uncomfortable. That means I got to be groaning. I'm groaning. I'm aching. Not to escape, but to arrive in an arms.
Hallelujah!
Amen. Yes, it's that constant comfort that never leaves us nor forsakes us. For truly I am my beloved's, and he's mine. And I thank the Lord so richly. He cannot deny himself. He can't deny himself. Know what he's after in us. Know what he's after. He's the God that looks on the heart. Jesus.
My sheep. Hear my voice. His fold. Know we no man after the flesh. For though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet his fold. Know we him no more after the flesh. If anyone is in Christ, Jesus, he is a new creature.
Yes.
Let the love of Christ constrain you.
Yes.
Thank you.
Father, thank you. In Jesus' name we come and just praise you for your Son. And Lord, we do. We just thank you that this wondrous, mighty grace that has given the life of your Son to live in us. And Lord, thank you that it is no longer us that live, it's Christ that lives in us. And Lord, let us just receive this grace to settle down, Lord, that it is this life now that lives by the faith of the Son of God. Just this beautiful faith. And Lord, let us love one another more and more for this faith that lives in each other. Lord, because of this truth that we hear, this feeding, it says faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. That's what we treasure in the brethren here. They love the truth. And if we're in love with the truth, we would be in love with those that love the truth. Lord, bring that into such a fullness in our lives. Lord, help us to just want to gather the much the more as we see this day approaching. Lord, help us to go after it, Lord, with a full assurance of believing, passionate and panting, Lord God, for Christ in us, the hope of glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.